All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Liberty Lens. This is Big John here with my favorite libertarian, maybe I should couch that, who's still alive, doesn't speak Austrian only, and, you know, a bunch of other conditions. But yes, for right now, my favorite libertarian, being the suck-up that I am, Mr. Mike Termott is here to join us. Mike, how are you feeling this week?
I'm doing good. I'm your favorite libertarian on your show at the moment.
There you go.
that's about where we should leave it. And by the way,
yes,
you are my all-time favorite show host anywhere in the world, anytime, any place on this show right now.
There you go. I appreciate that compliment right back at you, Mike. So... All right. Listen, we shouldn't be so jovial and jocular right now because this is a somber topic we're talking about, Mike. We are talking about the untimely death of wokeism right now. So I think we should approach this with the proper somber mood that it requires. But, of course, I'm just kidding. Woke is dead.
Woke is dead.
You know,
it's been dying.
Yes.
Governor DeSantis claimed that, you know, woke went to Florida to die, but I think it went to a lot of places to die. And I think that we've been watching it get sick over the past couple of years. I think that marketing efforts, obviously, the Target episode, the Budweiser episode were among the most prominent, but we saw marketing efforts reveal that there was increasing pushback. And of course, what this is really all about was people realizing that they were in the majority. I think a lot of people did not realize in the get-go that they were in the majority in looking askance at certain ideas that had gone too far. And I want to hasten to add, John, that I don't think anyone should be asserting that many of the core basic objectives of what grew into what we now refer to as woke culture weren't well intended. You know, I think that in many cases they were. One might look back, I think, you know, history is not yet written. One might look back and say certain aspects were even useful and maybe even a good thing. As skeptical as I am personally about that, it well could be the case. I think it's too early to tell. But at this point, we have any number of indications that woke is dead. And by that, what I mean is there really is no possibility of it making a resurgence. I don't think you're going to see major announcements of more DEI or more censorship or anything like that.
Right.
To the extent to which it's hanging on, it is in decline.
I agree with you. And I kind of use as a reference, as a sort of leading indicator, I always use like popular culture, especially stand-up comedy. Like, those guys are the canaries in the coal mine. And when you see stand-up go from what it was, where comics were ratting each other out, this is a big issue with me, where stand-up comedians would look and say, that person should be censored. They made a rape joke, or that person should be censored. They talked about immigrants, or whatever the case may be. That was the low point for me. And
yep.
And now it's turning around. We see comedians like Shane Gillis or Matt Rife who are making a resurgence, who are talking more openly. And they
absolutely not just Dave Chappelle. I think you're exactly right. And those are among the indications that that woke was sick and on its way to dying. The reason I would assert that we can really claim that it's dead at this point as a political force, I think that you saw during the Democratic presidential campaign, there wasn't a lot of stand up for woke ideas once polling data sufficiently impressed upon Democratic leadership that it was all about the economy and they needed to start focusing on that. And by the time they did, it was too late and they did a crappy job of standing up for it. And those who did stand up for wokeism got punished for it in the polls. And I would argue that was a big piece of why the Republicans did so well in November, was that the Democratic Party has been tied to woke ideas, for better or for worse. And however you may have felt about it some years ago, you have to say it was a strategic disaster in 2024.
I agree with you. And even more evidence, perhaps, that wokeism is dead is we're seeing some examples, like recently, within the last week or two, that I think you want to talk about. The first and most prominent of which is, hey, Zuckerberg has decided no more content moderation the way it used to be done. And I'm so committed to this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm moving my operation to Texas, where, of course, now I run the risk of becoming woke right and falling in line with the right. So talk to me a little bit about that. A, the benefit of saying, hey, Zuckerberg is like, we're done with that content moderation on Facebook. B, perhaps the danger of going too much on the other side, where now we're going to fall in line with right wokeism, or whatever term we come up with that's acceptable to them. And the final part, Mike, that I want you to talk to, is it all just business, baby? We'll support whatever.
Well, it is all just business. Let's dispense with that. It is all business in some sense or the other. Whether your business is making money, you know, a bottom line responsibility, or your business is politics, or your business is just keeping friends and, you know, making sure your family doesn't stab each other with a fork at Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, there is. It is all business in the sense that it does go beyond your personal feelings, right? However you feel about it, you need to be careful about what you say in certain quarters, because you could get punished for it. That's what cancel culture is all about, and something deeply and profoundly tied to wokeism. So I like how you say, is it just business? Look, I think Zuckerberg's statement is real, real important, and for a couple of very different reasons. Obviously, because his company is so huge, right? Meta is so big and so influential, and I realize that in some of his product lines, he's on the decline, people would argue, but others he's on the way up. And however, you know, you look at his portfolio of social media platforms, you cannot argue that it's not unimportant. Number two, it's an important story, because his company was so subjected to pressure from the FBI, right, from the White House, from popular culture. And the fact, and number three, his statement said so. You know, his statement went out and said, I was pressured by the government. I wish I had stood up to it. But by the way, we all do too.
Yeah.
And that would bring me to a fourth point, which is, he's young. He's chronological. I don't mean he's inexperienced. I mean he is a young man. I don't actually know his birthday. But he is a relatively young man, and this is important for a couple of different reasons. One is, I think to a certain extent, those of us with gray hair do feel a little bit bad for the kid. You know, right. As unpleasant a day as it would be if the FBI were to call you or me, or the White House were to call you or for me, we'd have a much better chance of, you know, standing up and telling them to go pound sand.
Right.
Being a young man and having so much responsibility for the bottom line, you can see why he would be intimidated. Maybe, you know, he would argue intimidated isn't quite the right word, but he was caught between a rock and a hard place, given that he believed, now we might argue that he was wrong, but at the time he believed that his bottom line, that so large a proportion of his constituents were tied to staying on the correct side, not only of politics, but the government. And let's not forget that, you know, this is a guy whose business relies on his ability to do deals and get FCC approval as well as DOJ approval when the deals are very large, and even international deals getting, you know, approval from the White House ultimately. So, you know, these are not unimportant things. But the other angle on him being young is that, you know, if you or I were to say, you know, we don't really care about the popular trends in youth culture, you know, people would say, well, that's because you're dopey and old, right? When Mark Zuckerberg says, look, you know, we went in a bad direction, I think you've got to be sensitive to the fact that he is prima facie culturally aligned with his constituents. So I think that business-wise, this is an important statement. Politically, it's an important statement. And I think ultimately, in the long run, we will recognize that legally, this is an important turning point when these platforms are able to do a better job.
Right.
However frustrated we might be that Meta didn't do as good a job up until now, ultimately, we will be grateful for what he has done the past week.
I agree with you. And I think people are very, to your point, were very harsh on him. Aside from the inexperience, like you said, chronologically, being a young man, it's also he has a fiduciary obligation to maximize shareholder value, right? And if shareholder value for him was, we want to be on the right side of the government, we have advertisers that if they, and he may also have at the time said, by the way, I think this is the right thing to do. I think there's misinformation out there. I think there's Russian bots out there, right? So I always try to draw the line between being nefarious and just being either ignorant, unaware, or just haven't gotten to the right opinion yet. There's a difference, right? So
right,
I think
absolutely.
He could look at it and say, I thought I was doing good. I've now learned, and that's a sign of maturity. Like you said, it's a sign of someone who's younger, perhaps getting older and more mature. So, yes, you're right. I think he's to be congratulated. The one thing I think libertarians like you and I should do is hold it in reserve and say, let's just wait now when Trump is out of office if he swings back to the other side, because it'll be a new regime in power, Mike.
That is well said. And so, like all of these examples, their true importance will only be revealed in the great writing of history after the fact. And in that sense, I think that we see other examples. McDonald's was a recent example this past week in the news where it's peeling back its commitment to DEI, not only regarding its franchise operation, but its vendors and its own corporation. I don't think I had not paid enough attention to McDonald's. I suppose shame on me up right. until now that they had put so much pressure on the people with whom they were doing business. Wow.
Right.
Let that sink in. Right.
Right.
And yeah, you know, you wish that franchisers would have done a better job of standing up to each other.
Right.
And, you know, and vendors, but again, these are big companies with a lot of power. It's natural that some people are going to cave. And the fact that the reason I think this is such an important example is because McDonald's went out with a press release. They're not hiding it. They're right. out there saying, we're peeling back our commitment to DEI. And I think it's important for, you know, those of us in the finance and economics business to recognize, and this needs to be said for our lefty friends out there, no one is suggesting, right, that diversity per se is a bad thing.
Right.
You know, it is true that in certain contexts, diversity is a damn good thing.
Sure.
And it is absolutely true that if you're not marketing to all aspects of America, if you're not tapping into every labor pool that you can be tapping into, you're missing a bet. Shame on you. You're going to get punished on your bottom line. But McDonald's is saying that the way that they had been pursuing this, you know, their own DEI program, and they did not detail it in their statement, but I'm taking their word for it, that however they were pursuing it turned out to right. be you know, exposed a bad idea.
Yeah, and you know, having spent time in the corporate world, I would see that going as far back as the early 90s, you know, and we're calling it woke now, but before it used to be gender awareness, it used to be cultural awareness. Like, it would always have a different name, Mike. And to your point, diversity, generally speaking, is a good principle. I mean, even genetically, right? It's not the pure breeds that survive. It's always the mutants that survive, right? But they're naturally selected. Nobody is forcing those mutations.
Much like me and like you.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. But the point there, even if you try to make it Darwinian, is that the environment selected the change. Nobody knew, was smart enough to say, here's the change that needs to happen, and here's how we're going to make it happen. That sort of engineering, which is what wokeism is at heart, right? It's social engineering, like you said, perhaps with good intentions. And when you have this, like we were talking pre-show, I called it a petri dish because of my biological background. But here's the thing, right? Social media, much like TV and radio was in their infancy, we don't know how people are going to react to it. We don't know how it's going to be used to manipulate people. So wokeism plus the relatively new environment of social media led to this contagion, right? Now, it happened to be
absolutely
on the left.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. And in that sense, I would be optimistic that for the near future, I don't even know what I mean by that anymore because
right.
You know, when we were growing up, near future was 20 years. Now it's about 20 minutes.
Right.
But for the near future,
right.
I don't think it's likely that, you know, we're going to snap into a different form of wokeism too easily because, you know, we're more aware of these things. We understand that social media isn't completely real, right?
Right.
You know, I think that as a society, as a culture, we're less likely to be cowed by, you know, a third of our population telling us how we should behave and letting a certain number of people on social media boss around what we're allowed to say to each other. That seems less likely.
Right.
I do, however, worry that, you know, a series of applications. My video cut out there. Let me say that again. I worry that a certain set of applications of artificial intelligence could adopt some analog to wokeism. There could be some standardization of conceptualization, standardization of culture that sweeps through our media, our social media, through our artificial intelligence that is hard for us to control. So I worry about that. I don't know exactly how that will play out, but that could be an issue in the future.
I was just about, as you were talking about that, I literally, right before you got into your AI piece there, I was thinking the same thing, right? Social media was a petri dish. And like you said, it used to be you and I, when we were younger, it would be a generation. You would have to wait 20, 25 years, and you would say, in the near future, a generation away. Now, with the rate scientific knowledge is doubling, you know, when we were kids, Mike, it was every 100 years, technology, the rate of technological innovation doubled. By the time we probably hit Wall Street, you and I, that had been cut down to 17 years.
Yep.
Now it's probably a lot shorter than that. So probably by the time this video gets put out there, it'll have doubled again. So AI is going to be akin to social media, I think, where initially we're finding all the great stuff it can do. It could cut down on labor. It could cut down on work, you know, repetitive task focus and things like that, which are all great. What happens when people start using it, as you said, to standardize culture, to standardize language, to standardize process? Do we lose our innovation? Do we lose our souls? Do we lose our humanity? And I think that's a bigger question and one for people much, much smarter than the participants in this conversation, Mike, at least speaking for myself.
I think you're exactly right. So I worry about that going forward. And there are any number of things to worry about. As you said, different cultural, you know, sets of ideals. Does it snap toward a Republican or a conservative? set of principles that, you know, we beat each other into, you know, voicing instead of a left-wing set of ideals.
Right.
But the technological aspect of this is absolutely critical.
I agree. I agree with you. And Mike, I think that's a great point to stop because we've accomplished our task of hitting the subject for this week's Liberty Lens. So until next week, everyone, when Mike will grace us again with his presence to give us another bit of his, the way he sees things in the week's events. For Mike Termott, this has been Big John. Check us out next week on Liberty Lens. Peace out, everyone.
Thanks, John.